led in discussing those actions that bring the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and distance a person away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From one of those actions, la'ana Allah akila riba. We have discussed the subject upstairs as well. However, here it falls under this category of those actions wherein people are cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person that consumes riba and interest is cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find that it's not restricted only to the akil, to the person that takes riba. Akil actually means literally to eat. Akala ya'kulu means eating. But here what it means, the person that receives the interest in the usury. I mentioned this because I remember one person in our country said, when the interest comes, I take it, I don't consume it, I don't eat it, but I use it for my tires or I use it for my fence, etc. He feels what is prohibited is eating the interest. But what is meant here actually is taking the interest. The person that takes interest in the person, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith is not restricted only to the taker, but the taker, the giver, and the person that writes it, the scribe, and the person that witnesses it. Or in other words, all those people that are associated to that transaction, they are cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person that takes it, the person that gives it, the person that notes it down, and the person that is a witness to it, to show how abhorred and how dislike it is in the Sharia, we find all these curses of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come on this action. Now we find we living in a country wherein the foundation of the economy works on interest and usury. We live in the same country that you live in. As far as these policies are concerned, there's hardly any difference whatsoever. But for a mu'min, for him to steer clear and to stay away from the evil, this is his job. Some people had asked a person, what is taqwa? What is taqwa and what is piety and what is becoming God, Allah conscious everywhere? He said the example of taqwa is like a thorny, is a path and it's surrounded by a very thorny bush from both sides. And a person wishes to go across safely. So he saves himself from the left and he saves himself from the right and he completely is aware of the dangers on all sides and then he passes by. This is taqwa. That we have to save ourselves from all those thorny things that are haram, all those things that are prohibited from all sides and go pass our life in this world. There will be difficulties, there will be inconvenience. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadith has mentioned there will come a time that staying upon the deen will be like having a burning charcoal in your hand. Can you imagine the charcoal is in your hand and it's burning you? There's so much difficulty and hardship and you are going across and you are walking. Can you imagine how much difficulty there will be? So definitely there will be difficulty, there will be hardships, there will be trials, there will be challenges for a person if he wishes to stay upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the rewards are just as much for those people, for the latter people. Some riwayat mentioned you will get the reward of 50 of the Sahaba. Some places mention that you carry out just 1/10 of the deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you tremendously. But one thing you must remember, that whenever a Muslim, whichever part of the globe, whatever life, whatever period he is going through, if he endeavors to follow the deen of Allah, then the mercy of Allah, the assistance of Allah, the rahmat of Allah is directed towards that person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes openings for that person. I know of one alim who just passed away recently. He said, when I had come to my country, he's talking about our country, and I wanted to purchase a home. But there was no way out. In our country at that time, loans from the building societies were very common. In other words, you go to a building society, they give you a loan, you take that loan and pay your interest and you buy a home. So he says, I made up my intention that, oh Allah, I'm going to stay clear from this interest. Because I know, I'm convinced that it's not permissible. When you declare war, when Allah and His Rasul Fa'asam and Bihabim bin Allah and Rasul, you declare war on that person that indulges in this transaction, I'm not prepared to indulge. When it's mentioned in the hadith, that it's like fornicating with one's own mother, then I cannot think and imagine of undertaking such a transaction which is described as so terrible and so bad and unshameless in the hadith, I'm not prepared to go near. He says, you will not believe me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened for me avenues where I went and bought the home without getting into interest. And we say a home is a necessity. I know of my grandfather Rahmatullah Ali, who passed away, he never owned a home in his life. He never owned a home in his life and he lived a comfortable life in this dunya. So owning a home is not a part of a necessity that you have to perpetrate haram, etc., and then carry it out. You may be doing it for your families, but if you make an intention that I am going to steer clear from all these things that bring the curse of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, can we imagine we buy a beautiful house and we perpetrate the evil of interest and usury? And we have the curse of Allah, which means it takes you away from the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we expect to have comfort, peace, and complete solace and tranquility in the home. There should be no problems whatsoever. We are the ones that are inviting the problems. There are so many people who gradually climbed the ladder. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them so many homes. Not even one, so many homes. Despite that, we find in this age and era, there are people that are putting their minds to an interest-free society where they give loans or where they assist a person, where houses are bought, etc. I'm not qualifying here what guidance is saying or not. I'm not aware of the intricacies and whatever goes with them, their policies, I'm not aware. But I'll just tell you simply that there's a difference between interest and there's a difference between buying and selling. And some people don't seem to understand this. In other words, if I, for example, buy a certain product, so I buy a car, for example, and I go to a building society or to the bank and say that I want a loan on interest, I wish to purchase this car. You all know what happens. They'll give you $100,000, for example, and they will say this is the interest rate, you have to pay it over so many months, we need sureties, we need guarantees, etc., and we'll take it, and you or they purchase the car, or you purchase the car with those funds, they forward the funds, and eventually you get a loan from them where you got the car and you got a loan from them and you have to pay back on interest. They write it there on black and white, there's a loan on interest and you are going to pay X amount of interest. You know yourself that it is interest and they know it is interest. This is completely not acceptable because you are taking a loan on interest. The other scenario is this, that what some people do or some banks are doing today, Muslim banks, is you go to the bank and you say you wish to purchase a certain car. They purchase the car on their name. Listen carefully what I'm saying. I'm not qualifying or justifying what people do here, I'm not aware. They purchase that car on their name and thereafter that car is resold to you. It's sold to you and they put a profit there. Now people at the end of the day say, what is the difference? Because here also I paid 100,000 as a loan and 50,000, for example, as an interest. Here also the man bought the car for 100,000, he put 50,000 as profit and he sold me the car. I still have to pay 150,000. The difference is, one was a loan upon interest, the other one was a transaction, a car that you bought from a person, he is charging you X amount of profit. That is the difference. And Allah Ta'ala says clearly in the Quran, وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْءِ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. Though there is an amount here, an increase in lieu of that amount. Here also there is an amount, but there is an article in between. And this happens every day of our lives. You are a businessman, you buy something, and you add your profit margin, and you sell it. And Allah Ta'ala says that there's a distinct difference between the two, like the day and the night. وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْءِ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made buying and selling completely permissible, and has made riba and interest completely haram. And people used to say, the Quran also says that those people will stand up in the day of judgment, they will be standing up like crazy people, touched by the shaitan. الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُ الْرِبَىٰ لَا يَقُومُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَدْخَبَّدُوا الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسْ. Why? ذَلِكَ بَأَنَّمْ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ مِثْلُ الْرِبَىٰ. Why? Because they used to say that buying and selling also is like interest. Why? Because there is increase here in the amount and there is increase here in the amount. They used to make both the same. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made both the difference. And there's a vast difference. That person that purchases that car, for example, and you pass away before he sells you the car, who does the car belong to? Belongs to the bank that purchased it, because you didn't buy it. Still, he's still going to sell it to you. He bought that car and something happens to that car before he sells it to you. Who takes the onus of the damage? The bank, not yourself, because you haven't bought it. There's so many different implications between a buying and selling transaction and between a loan. You took a loan from the bank, the car came to you, got damaged and got destroyed, got stolen. You still owe the bank the money because this is a loan, it is no transaction. So there's a vast difference between the two. And it is our duty to look out for that part that saves us from the la'nat from Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's very easy to sit back and justify we are part of the system and we have to stay here, etc. But look at the prohibitions, or look at the severity of the curses of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One hadith is mentioned that a person that takes just one dirham of riba, person that takes riba, obviously he is not giving, he's taking, takes just one dirham is less than $1. then it is like fornicating 36 times. Can you imagine how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has made it or given the example of this, like fornication? We all know fornication and zina is an action that is abhorred and detested and hated and not liked and condemned outright in the Sharia. But here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says taking one dirham of riba is like fornicating 36 times. Fornicating 36 times. And if a person takes income that is not prohibited, is not proper, and is not permissible, is prohibited, then what is the effect of that income? The effect of the income is this, that every part of the body, كُلُّ لَحْمٍ نَبَتَ مِنَ الْحَرَامُ مِنَ السُّحْمِ فَالنَّارُ أَوْلَى بِهِ أو قال كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, that every part of the body that is nurtured, it is grown with something that is haram, then the fire of Jahannam is more deserving of that part of the body. So we should save ourselves when here Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have cursed the people that take and give, etc. We should try and make an endeavor that we save ourselves from this. And I can guarantee you one thing, the moment you make a sincere intention, you will see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the way for you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it possible, fulfill your needs in a halal manner. Any action of good, any ta'at a person intends doing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance is with that person, provided that we remain perseverant and patient upon the challenges that will follow us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq.